Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Rebecca Friedrichs is our guest today on Faith and Freedom. She is a school teacher in California that challenged the unions and took the case all the way to the United States Supreme Court. We're going to be talking to her on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. And Rebecca, welcome to Faith and Freedom.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
I met you earlier this year at an event in California and got a chance to know a little bit more about your personal story. And certainly I and many others around the country were aware of the legal case that you were involved in. Tell us how you, as a school teacher for so many years, got involved to the point where you wanted to take on the unions.
Sure. Well, starting from when I was a student teacher all the way until about year 25 in my career, I discovered that no matter how hard I tried, both within the union and without, I could not make my voice heard. So I'll just start by telling you what happened when I was a student teacher. I was working with a fantastic master teacher, but next door to us was a teacher that I believe was abusive to her young students. I would witness every day as she would grab them by the arms and yank them and get right in their little faces and scream at them. And this was just so that she could line them up outside the classroom. Once she took them inside and shut the door, I have no idea what those little kids experienced. And I thought, you know, at 22, I was terrified, and I knew I couldn't learn in that kind of environment. And these children were six-year-olds. So I was really concerned, went to my master teacher and asked her, well, what can we do about this situation? And that's when she sat me down and told me about teachers' unions and teacher tenure and how it was nearly impossible for school districts to do what was right for the children because of union bargained rules and tenure. And so I was very concerned about unions and what they were up to from the very beginning of my career. I continued to try to get involved. I served in union leadership for 3 years, trying to make my voice heard and the voices of my colleagues heard. And every time I tried, I was shut down and silenced. So I got to the point where I realized the only way I could make my voice heard was in this way, through a lawsuit.
So this particular teacher, when you were doing the student teaching at a young age, she or this teacher was engaging, obviously, in bad behavior, but it was because of the tenure position and the union contracts regarding employment that you couldn't get rid of bad teachers like that? Is that the issue?
Exactly. The way it works is tenure is a law at this point that the union's pushed for. So tenure makes it incredibly difficult for administrators to rid school districts of low-performing and even, in this case, abusive teachers. And what happens, I call this the union 1-2 punch. The laws they've pushed to create, such as tenure, work collectively with the collectively bargained grievance procedures. So these grievance procedures and rules like last in, first out, where the last teachers hired are the first ones fired or laid off if someone needs to be let go. But just because you have seniority, even if you're abusive or even if you're low performing, you're going to keep your job over someone who is doing a much better job just because of seniority. So these rules that the unions push for and fight for make it truly almost impossible for administrators to do what's right for children and what's right for the taxpayers.
Now, you're a teacher in California, and so obviously you enjoy teaching, and you've been teaching for a number of decades. But in order to be a teacher in California and to teach anywhere in the public school system, you have to be a part of the union in the sense that you're going to have to pay some monetary contribution to support that union, correct?
Yes, that is correct. I don't have to belong to the union, but I have to pay them fees. And in my district, a full-time teacher who belongs to the union pays $1,000 a year, but if you pay the fees, you pay about $650 to $700 a year. And tragically, teachers who pay the fees are paying for 100% of all of this collective bargaining, whether or not we agree with what is being bargained for us, and we have no vote in the process, no voice in the process at all, and we lose all benefits of membership. So we pay all this money and really have no representation at all because we're voiceless.
So you got to the point where you wanted to take on the union legally, and you ultimately made contact with some very skilled attorneys there in California and challenged the union. That's quite a big union for a teacher to challenge, and you took that case all the way to the United States Supreme Court. How did that come about, and where is this ultimately going with the unions, not only in California, but perhaps even elsewhere?
Mm-hmm. Well, it came about because, like I said before, I had been teaching 25 years, and it didn't matter what I tried to do, even as a union leader, I couldn't make the voices of my colleagues heard. So I actually started writing editorials in my local newspaper, having no idea how I would get them published. But I just wanted the American people to know the truth about what's going on within unions. And I was very fortunately connected to some other people who understand these issues and want what's best for kids. And then I was connected to my wonderful attorneys. They're actually out of Washington, D.C. And we filed this lawsuit in 2013 against the National Education Association, the California Teachers Association, and 10 local California unions. We argued our case in front of the United States Supreme Court on January 11th of this year. It went very well, and a month later,
at the time that that was argued, Justice Antonin Scalia was still alive and still a member of the 9 justice panel.
That's correct. He died almost, well, 1 month to the day from our oral argument date.
You know, the amazing thing is, of course, there was these previous precedents of the United States Supreme Court, and the lower courts ruled against you. The lower district and the lower federal courts of appeal ruled against you following the United States Supreme Court decisions. But then the U.S. Supreme Court took the case for review, and so everyone thought they're ready to reconsider their previous union case. And as you said, the argument went well. But in the meantime, between the argument and the time that the justices made their opinion, Justice Scalia died, and now we have 8 justices rather than 9 justices. And then what happened at that point?
Well, at that point, at the end of March, we received a 4-4 split, which is basically a non-decision, which means that the decision went back to the lower courts, the Ninth Circuit. We had asked the Ninth Circuit to rule against us because they could not rule against a Supreme Court precedent. So we sit now at this 4-4 tie, which gave us the right to request a re-argument. So we did file that petition for re-argument, and we're currently waiting to find out whether we will be granted the right to re-argue our case once there are 9 justices on the bench.
You know, Rebecca, as a teacher, and I know I've done that as well, it's a very hard position with a lot of demands on you. I feel like you've really met a precedent as a teacher. Did you feel support and other teachers coming alongside you?
You know, that's so interesting. When we took this case, I thought I would take a lot of heat from teachers because the unions have ensured that we work in a culture of fear. But I was very surprised that many, many teachers have very quietly, they always take me into a dark room or, a private area, and they'll tell me how grateful they are, how they are supporting me, praying for me, rooting for me, whatever it is, thanking me for doing what they're too afraid to do. Hmm. A very few teachers will come out vocally in front of everyone being supportive, and that's just because they're too afraid, tragically, too afraid to speak their mind. on how they really feel. But I do feel a lot of quiet support.
Well, Rebecca, thank you for your courageous stand. And we pray that the U.S. Supreme Court does rehear that case and set it down for argument again once a ninth justice is ultimately seated and break that 4-4 tie. This is an incredibly important case, and everyone who was watching this thought it might ultimately be this major precedent that ultimately would change the course of the future with regards to this union issue, and it may still will be that precedent. So we're going to continue to pray for that and pray for you. Thank you. Our guest today has been Rebecca Friedrichs, and she is the one challenging the unions at the United States Supreme Court.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Become an active partner with Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.